Hung Cao, and he will now be running against Jennifer Wexton, the incumbent in the general election. Hung Cao, great to have you with us, sir.
Hey, Vince, how you doing today? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm doing so well. Congratulations. What's the first few days been like as the general election nominee?
It's been surreal, but honestly, it's kind of hard to celebrate right now with everything happening last night.
Yeah.
Or yesterday in Texas. I mean, you've been speaking about that pretty extensively today, and I don't want to harp on it, but it really is a time for us to mourn. I got caught in a trap yesterday by a local, you know, just small newspaper. You know, I thought it was going to be about, you know, the nomination, and she went right into, do you believe in gun control? I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, is really the time to talk about gun control? I mean, people are still giving DNA so they can, you know, identify their kids. Yeah. And like you said earlier too, I mean, at the same time, 30 to 50 kids were getting in a fight. A dozen of them got stabbed. One was stabbed to death. You know, you have kids who will never grow up. Will never be get married. They'll never have children, you know, and it's sad. And we fail to address the main problem in this country, which is the mental health issue, right? And mental health, depression, and again, I just lost a very dear friend of mine who's a veteran police officer who took his own life, and it's just hard, you know. Yeah. It's just a really difficult thing, and we need to address that as a nation instead of blaming. You know, it's time for us to come together and heal one another. The way we did on September 12th.
Yeah. Everyone, of course, you know, I mentioned it a moment ago, there's this impulse, it's not just on the left, a lot of Americans have it, that maybe the government can fix this. Maybe the government can do something. What, if anything, do you think the role of government is here? You know, I know many of the school districts across the country, these states have, like, they're just overflowing with COVID cash that they didn't spend. There are schools that could use some more hardening of their sites, like, you know, putting the locks on the doors and having school resource officers present. You know, what kind of role should government play in helping to prevent these types of atrocities?
So that's definitely a state government thing, and I don't want the federal government to get into it, except for finding the money to give it to the states, so the states can then give it to the counties, and the counties do what's proper for their schools. You know, the federal government really should just be for providing for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and just that to it. Everything else should be handled through the 10th Amendment and given to the states. We can't legislate morality. We can't even legislate civility, right? I mean, that's what we need in this time is civility. And like you said, it's from both sides. We don't need to be attacking each other. Like, it's time to hold each other and show that we are a country that has survived so many hard things in our lives, and we can get through it as a nation.
That said, there are elements of the federal government that have been far too meddlesome in all sorts of really important social ways that probably, in my view, need to be clawed out. Like these things of diminishing people's identities, scrambling what it means to be a man versus a woman. You're a military veteran. The Pentagon has been infected by this wokeism. And I imagine that's only adding to the confusion and the despair we're seeing in the country rather than the clear-eyed moral thinking that we need to succeed.
Exactly. I mean, right now, China is having, you know, they're eating our lunch and taking our money as well. I mean, it's just we're focusing on the wrong thing. You know, besides the Chinese building the largest port down in Peru, you know, which can house three aircraft carriers, and it's right at the mouth of the Panama Canal, which they own now. You know, that's a problem. But also, I posted a letter today on LinkedIn because I sent it to the director of the Thrift Savings Plan, which is where all federal employees and now all military people, that's where they get their retirements, like the 401k. They, under President Trump, he forbade them to invest in Chinese companies. And now they're trying to do a quick switcheroo, and they're trying to invest the international fund into Chinese companies. So we're putting the livelihood of our government employees as well as our military people into the hands of the Chinese.
How tough will you be on China should you become a United States congressman?
Extremely tough. I mean, they're, you know, this is August of 1939, and I don't want to be an alarmist. I mean, this is August 1939, and we are surrounded, right? You know, 5G, the Chinese are all over 5G in Europe, in the Middle East, in Africa. They own a lot of mining rights around the world, including in Entebbe. They own the entire airport and ports around Africa. They own the actual port, you know, because they come in and these warlords want something and they give it to them. And when they don't pay the price, they're like, well, you know, in their contract, we own this. You know, the One Belt, One Road initiative is a very dangerous time for the world, because China really owns a lot of us and we just don't know it. And that's why I'm so against the thrust phasing plan being Chinese, as well as, you know, now they take over Taiwan, which produces 92% of the world's high-end chips. I know they produce overall 48%, but 92% of the world's high-end chips come from Taiwan. So if they take that over, it becomes a national, a strategic problem.
What did you think of the White House's backflips this week as it related to the president's statements on Taiwan? The president acknowledging for a moment, he said, yes, we would get involved militarily if China invades Taiwan. The White House very rapidly walked all of that back and said there's been no change in policy. Of course, longtime U.S. policy has been what they refer to as strategic ambiguity. Another way of saying we'll keep the Chinese guessing about what our actual policy is. What did you think of all of that?
Well, a broken clock is right twice in the day, right? And so he was right when he said that we will intervene, because that's part of the Taiwan Resolution Act. And it's really under the Reagan doctrine of, hey, strength to, peace to strength, right? So it says that we will provide arms. We will even to a point where we will interfere if there's no peaceful resolution for Taiwan. And so he was right. But then when it was walked back, you then wonder who is in charge. And when they walked this back, I think there's a third or fourth time they've walked back his statements. It makes the world wonder who's really in charge. Yes. And when the superpower of the world, you know, is not under the president of the United States, who is really in charge and who's pulling the strings?
You're totally right. I had the same thought. I mean, we had that thought during the Trump administration, too, when you saw government officials actively undermining the president of the United States. The reports when Trump was in office that Pentagon officials were lying to the president about troop numbers and deployments and where they were. And you say, how does that even happen? This guy is the guy who is responsive to the American people. He's the chief executive. And yet you have people around them, now two subsequent presidents, who have their own agendas in mind.
No, this is an extremely dangerous time. And again, we have to get back to, you know, only Congress can declare war, but also the president of the United States has to be the figurehead of the United States, or well, not figurehead, but he has to lead. And when he's not leading, then we wonder who is.
Yeah, the commander in chief. Yeah, it's back on China for a moment. You know, one of the things that's been just awful about our relationship with China is the extent to which all of the powers that be have turned a blind eye to their human rights violations. This week, we had reporting a trove of hacked Chinese police photographs and documents came out that showed that there are shoot-to-kill orders for the Uyghurs who are inside of these concentration camps in China. And we saw hundreds of photos of Uyghurs posted there. The Communist Party is accused of detaining more than 1 million Uyghurs, which are Muslim minorities in the west, western part of China. You know, how should the United States get more serious on this, you think?
I know we worry about, you know, the podunk things around the world, and yet the big glaring issue that stares us in the face, which from a country that where we do a lot of trade with, we're ignoring that because it's convenient for us. And don't forget also, you know, remember right before COVID, there were protests in Hong Kong and it all kind of miraculously went away, right? They got hauled off because, hey, look, surprise, you got COVID.
Yeah.
And so they got hauled off and it became very silent. We don't know what happened to those people, and we don't hear anything more from Hong Kong since COVID.
Yeah, they have a new leader now. It's installed by the Communist Party.
Exactly.
So now, yeah, Hong Kong, you know, goes further descends away from its democratic traditions. What about the other foreign policy thing that of course, everybody's focused on is Ukraine. You just saw the House and the Senate throw $40 billion at Ukraine. That, of course, outpaces given all the money all in so far outpaces the average spend that we had in Afghanistan for the duration of the war. You know, what do you make of that decision for Congress to send that much money overseas, especially without the oversight necessary to make sure that the money is spent well?
That's exactly right. They passed the bill. They gave the members of the House the bill 2 hours before voting. 2 hours. There's no way for any human being to go through that stack of paperwork in 2 hours. It's just impossible. And so, you know, they blindly pass it, kind of like, hey, you got to pass it to know what's in it,
right.
Kind of like the Obamacare. And it becomes very dangerous. And so I know a lot of my friends in Congress refuse to sign it because they're like, hey, I have no idea what's in it. I'm not going to sign it. And to be honest with you, a lot of these weapons, a lot of these things are work with pork and a lot of things that they don't need. And so we wonder to ourselves, like, why are we just throwing money away? We have a border. We have to secure our own border. And why aren't we paying that? And also we're in deep recession right now and we need to pay down our debt.
Yeah. What's going to happen in November? I know, you know, it's hard to ask a candidate because you always say, I'm going to win. But you're running against Jennifer Wexton in the 10th Congressional District. A lot of the prognosticators thinking that she has a very solid chance of winning re-election here. What's the strategy here to take her down?
I don't think she has that strong of a chance. I'll tell you right now, all of her voting has been in line with Joe Biden, with Maxine Waters, and with Nancy Pelosi. And I think the American people are sick and tired of it. I mean, we're spending more than we're bringing in. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like kids running around with a credit card and just swiping away.
Yeah.
And that's our money, right? It's the people's money. And she's on the Appropriations Committee, right? So she's the person that's signing the checks. It's not just the Congress. I mean, the Appropriations Committee is the one that actually physically signs the checks. And so, you know, it's all on her as well.
No question. It's a huge deal. And that out-of-control government spending paired up with the Federal Reserve's very loose monetary policies has led to an inflation that a lot of Americans just can't handle at all. I mean, how many reports do we need to see? People cannot make it to the next paycheck without incurring expenses that go above and beyond the money that they have in their bank accounts. Something has to change and quick, and government spending going down would be a key part here. Hung Cao, finally, any last thoughts here as we, again, you move into this general election season?
No, I mean, I think the energy is behind us. I think everybody's excited. People just want an outsider. They're tired of the same old politicians and bureaucrats. They want fresh ideas. They want someone who will fight for them, right? I mean, I served and fought for this country. I bled for this country. And so I'm willing to put my life online for all the values that we have. And so I will fight for us and I will go in there and I'm not going to give any way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hung Cao, it was nice to talk to you today. We met each other a couple weeks ago, too. That was a nice experience. Thank you, sir. Look forward to talking to you more again as you move along in this general election. Good luck, sir.
Thank you so much, sir.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.